Welcome, Comforted Home listeners. This is the Barking Truth, presented to you by Comfort at Home Pet Services. This podcast will reveal the barking truth about what is actually happening in the pet industry so that you can gain knowledge and education to keep our pets safe, healthy, and well. I will be your host, Jennifer Seibel, certified professional pet sitter, dog bite prevention educator, fear-free certified, pet first aid and CPR trained, and owner of Comfort at Home Pet Services. I hope you enjoy. Welcome. In today's episode, we're going to talk about household dangers. Sometimes a lot of us don't think about the risks around our homes that pose an issue or a dangerous situation for our pets. But let's keep in mind when, if we have, I don't have children, but if we have kids, we baby-proof our home to make sure that the house is safe for any children that we're bringing into the home, giving birth, everything like that. But a lot of the times when we go ahead and pick up, whether it's an older rescue dog, a rescue cat, an older cat, a kitten, a puppy, we don't always think about what in our house is dangerous for them. And we'll get into a lot of this, but you know, sometimes I have a lot of people who are against crating their dogs. And they think it's a jail. They feel like their pet's just confined. It's the safest thing for your pet. They're not able to get into certain things when you're not around, you're not at home, and it's keeping them safe. So let's talk about some of these household dangers. Household dangers are extremely preventable. It is us as pet parents that are causing this danger to our pets because we're not taking the absolute responsibility for making sure the household is safe for our pets. So it's extremely preventable. And a lot of the times, a lot of tragedies and things that I hear from, you know, pet parents or that I see on social media, I see through the news, everything is absolutely preventable. And one of the biggest things is, and I have to put, you know, a shout out to our friends at Pet Suffocation. You can check out their website. Definitely go on and like their Facebook page. It's preventpetsuffocation.com. Suffocation is a huge thing that is very, very extremely preventable, but we have so many pets that lives are lost due to pet suffocation. And that is because we have chip bags, we have cereal bags, we have dog food bags that are laying around and the pets can get into that. And just think about this, and this is what I tell a lot of people. Remember, you know, back in the day when, you know, there was this whole, you know, media thing that, you know, the plastic, how do I want to say this? The plastic rings that come around pop cans that you'd pop the pop can out of, that we'd have to cut those because, you know, birds or turtles or whatever was getting caught in them and it causing issues. We need to see and think about the same thing when we talk about different types of bags that we're dealing with our pets. Chip bags are one of the biggest things that our friends at Pet Suffocation talks about. You have, let's say, a Super Bowl party, you have a party, 4th of July, anything like that, that we have chip bags out. We throw them in the garbage, anything like that. If we do not have locked garbage cans, our dogs can get into that. They are all of a sudden going in and licking those bags. And the second their head is in there and they're trying to breathe, it just wraps around them and it can kill them within moments. And there's nothing you can do. There has been several pet owners who have left something like that out and a bag out where their pet has gotten into it and went to breathe, and it just suctioned around their face where they can no longer breathe anymore, and death is imminent. It happens very, very, very quickly. It happens very quickly. My dogs, you guys know that I talk about, my dogs. Shockingly enough, my dogs are absolutely, I don't know how I've gotten so blessed with my dogs here, but they love Doritos. I love Doritos. I munch on Doritos. They hear the sound of that bag come out, and both of them are sitting here staring at me. I can't even eat a Dorito without them like right on me wanting a Dorito themselves. But they've never put in their face in the bag or anything like that. They sit here and wait until, I finish eating, and before I curl up the bag and clip it, they get their Dorito. So we have to think about what is the safest thing for our pets when we're talking about, pet suffocation. It can happen in any way. When we were told before for these little plastic rings that we have to cut them, think about it. You have an empty, dog food bag. Your dog's in, you're curious. It's a puppy, it's a kitten, whatnot. They're smelling that. They can suffocate from it. Cut the bags. Cut the bags down the side so it is just a flat bag that if somehow they pull it out of the garbage, somehow you left it unattended, anything like that, chip bags, anything like this. Cut it down the sides that they are not going to suffocate from it. This is absolutely something pet owners should know about and think about and understand the dangers of it. Let's talk about plastic bags as well. I have a lot of cats that I deal with that like to chew on plastic. I have a few cats that, that wonderful plastic ring that you pull up to tie up your garbage bags. That they'll chew on that. They can easily suffocate from that. That gets stuck in their intestinal system, that gets stuck in their, esophagus, and they can suffocate from it. I have cats who will, chew on plastic bags and can suffocate from that, where we have to make sure that everything's out of reach. You come home, I mean, the second my husband comes home, because we all know that, my husband takes, very good care of me. He does the grocery shopping. I can't go to the grocery store. I can't deal with people. Every time I go in there, somebody's asking me a question. I don't know. I feel lost. I feel like, I'm in a whole different realm than what I'm used to. My husband comes home with grocery bags, puts them on the floor. My dogs, the first thing they're doing is wondering what he bought, and their faces are in those bags. I mean, it is a suffocation risk that is easily able to be preventable if we just pay attention, put the bags away where they cannot be reached. So there are different, type of trash cans out there, which I have one here at my house that's a it's a lockable trash can. It has a little lever, but we have to unlock it. Thank God, my dogs have not figured out how to unlock it yet to get into the garbage because it would just be a mess. But there are some, animals that can figure that out. I have some clients who have the same type of garbage can that I have, and their dogs can unlock it and get into the garbage and pull everything out, and it's a mess. And what if there's a suffocation risk or anything in that trash that they come home to find a bag, over their pet's head and their pet is dead? I mean, I have some clients, like I said, just have the same garbage can as I do. They put it in a different room. They put it in a bathroom. They put it in a bedroom, close the door. The pet does not have access to it. You got to think about, snack bags, reusable sandwich bags, anything like that that they can put their little noses, their little snouts into, that they want to be curious, they want to check something out. Definitely can be a suffocation risk to these pets. And this is something so preventable as a pet owner that we need to be aware of and we need to know about, and we need to take those precautions to save our pets', life. Metal cans. metal cans. I have a couple of clients whose cats can be so ferocious, and the dogs as well can be so ferocious on these cans. And no matter how much you want to rinse the cans out, they can get their nose, their snout. I've had cats who have gotten themselves cut because an owner doesn't have a food bowl. You just feed them out of the can. It's metal. It's metal. Yeah. They're licking the edges of it. I mean, I know that I've gotten cut many times using a can opener, just opening a can of something, and I've gotten myself sliced in many times. Think about that when you're dealing with your pet and you're just feeding them out of a can, or you're just, putting that can down, or that can is accessible to them for them to be able to harm themselves. And what if they get it stuck on them and then they can't breathe? Glass jars. Glass jars is a big thing. I dealt with a client a couple years ago, who unfortunately she was a little neglectful with her dog, and the dog knocked over a jar of a glass jar of relish. That we have shattered glass, we have a shattered jar. This dog's trying to eat the relish. Who knows how much glass it ingested? I mean, we need to kind of think about different things like this that is harmful for our pets, that is absolutely, preventable on our end. I mean, look at the commercials now that we talk about and they have on here. The Pringle commercials crack me up. So I love Pringles. I absolutely love Pringles. It's all in a tube. Usually, the Pringles are there. But now the commercials are showing that people are getting their hands stuck in there because they're trying to get that last Pringle out. And, it happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. What if it happens to your pet? What if your pet's face and their nose and their mouth gets stuck in a Pringle container and they can't breathe? What are you coming home to? What are you dealing with? The same thing goes for, I mean, I know I'm sitting here talking about, chip bags and dog food bags, anything like this, but it also goes for anything that we consume. That's like cracker. I mean, I like Ritz crackers. Not Ritz crackers. What do I like? I like the darn it, I can't think of what it is. Cheez-Its, that's it. The Cheez-It crackers. I eat those. I slice up the bag afterwards, throw it in the trash. Cereal bags. My husband, oh my God, he's a cereal fanatic. All he does, I swear to God, he eats like 10 bowls of cereal every day. It's the old man cereal. He's getting a little older. We're both getting a little older in our ages, but he eats that old man, cream, like cream of, no, it's not cream of wheat. It's the Wheaties, yada, yada, yada. Slices the bags because the dogs are going to come in, sniff it. They can suffocate through that. These type of situations can happen extremely quickly, and it only takes seconds that this dog or this cat can be stuck in a bag and they're trying to breathe and they are suffocated. It can happen quickly within moments, and there's not a thing you can do. So keep some of this stuff in mind that this is very preventable to, your pets, and we have to use those safety precautions. This is just like, when we go and if we're having children or whatnot, that we're baby proofing the house, that we're, plugging up our electrical outlets, we're, making sure that they can't get into cabinets, different things like that. I mean, this is the most important thing of everything we're going to talk about tonight is, suffocation with bags that a lot of people just don't realize or think about. I threw it away. It's not a problem. Your pet's used to getting into the trash. Dogs and cats have a greater sense of smell than any of us do. A dog can smell a teaspoon of sugar in an Olympic-sized pool. They will go after it. They will find it. They will go after it. And it's very, very harmful to them. So let's go into the next subject, which is poisoning. Totally, again, preventable. We're bringing a child into this house. We're having the locks on the cabinets, making sure they can't get, under the sink. They can't, get into the laundry room, things like this, and be around these harmful chemicals. I kind of laugh now because there's all these commercials. It's the Tide commercials, that, they have this lock system on their containers now to prevent kids from getting into it. We had, a couple years ago, or still recently, I don't even know, I don't keep up with some of this, that, children are eating Tide Pods. I mean, seriously? And you don't think, that's an issue or a problem with humans. What do you think it's doing with our pets that don't know what this is and they want to chew on it? I sometimes have, pet parents come to me and they'll say, like, they don't want to use a crate. They feel like their pet's in, jail all day. So guess what they do? They go ahead and put the pet in the laundry room and close it in there where it has a little bit more space, this and that. But nothing in that room is locked up that the pet can get into anything, which means the cleaning products. Hey, I'm a little puppy. I can go in here. This bottle looks good. I'm going to chew on this bottle. And now I've ingested a poison. I've ingested a chemical. And it can be deadly for them, especially if you don't find out in time and you don't know what the heck they've chewed on. I've walked into people's houses where, their laundry room is an absolute mess because the pet got into something. Batteries. A lot of pets. We leave our remotes sitting around. I've walked into people's homes where I've almost had heart attacks because the remote control's chewed up. I can't find the batteries. Where are the batteries? They have lithium in them, poisonous to animals. We have to deal with in the garages. We're letting our dogs just, our pets run free. There's paint. We're doing construction in the house. I had an owner who, this is kind of a little bit of a funny story. I had an owner who was doing, some little bit of, painting and construction around the house because she was, going to sell her house. And the dog was out. The dog was out and about. Painters are there. All of a sudden, they're painting the walls, getting the house ready for resale, this and that. The dog decided it was going to be Picasso. Dog decided to trample through the paint tray. Shrek paint has paint all over its paws. Track it on the carpet, the brand new carpet she just got. Put it everywhere, and she had to go and rinse it off. And it's hard to get paint off of their paws. And dogs, cats, they're going to lick their paws. But it's extremely toxic. You have to figure out, like, okay, what are we going to allow them by? The dog should have been, put away, but it was doing good. They didn't think it was going to be an issue until all of a sudden, Picasso decides to track its paws all over the place. We have to look at different things like this, pool chemicals, chemicals within our pools. Where do we keep those stored? Are they locked away? When we're dealing with the winter months, I know in my own personal garage, I've had issues with, mice that I've had to put different types of traps out. I do not put, poison or anything like that because I don't know if my dogs are going to get into it. If I do poison a mouse and it goes out and about and it's poisoning everything else, if a stray cat outside is going to decide to eat this, poisoned mouse and I've just caused, all these deaths. You need to think about different things like this, insect sprays, lawn care chemicals. I mean, everybody nowadays, and especially when I'm out walking and I'm, taking care of dogs, I see those little lawn signs that lawn has just been treated. I keep every pet possible and every dog possible that I'm going near that yard or whatnot, I keep them off of it. So, a story that I can tell you about that. A lot of these lawn care companies, everybody wants their lawn to look beautiful and wonderful. I've had people come out and don't let the dog pee here, don't let him poop here. Okay, first off, let's be realistic. If the dog's got to go to the bathroom, I can't tell it where to go. Like, if it's got to go, it's got to go. If I got to go, I got to go. I'm going where I got to go. You know, like that's the reality of the situation. And we have people who are so, obsessed with their lawns that they get this chemicals and this stuff put on their lawns, and they're sitting here worrying about, pets in the neighborhood going to the bathroom in their yard. Are you forgetting that there's probably wild animals, raccoons, rabbits, deer that are defecating and peeing in your yard, which is what's the difference between my dog doing it when I'm cleaning it up and what's the issue and what's the problem? But the problem does come into with these lawn care chemicals. A lot of these places will sit here and tell you, oh, it's safe. It's safe for the environment. It's safe for the pets. Just don't let the pets out there 2 hours after we do it. Okay, that should be a red flag for any of my pet owners out here that if a company's telling you that you have to wait 2 hours before your pet can step on it, that it's something dangerous for your pets. So a lot of you have heard me talk about, some of my previous pets, and one of them was Jasmine. Jasmine was my Sheltie, and she had a condition called IMHA, immune-mediated hemoglobic anemia, where her white cells were killing her red blood cells. We almost lost her. I was lucky enough to be able to work with some of the top specialists in the area. My vet was very accommodating with working with me and dealing with stuff. Dogs can absorb through their paw pads. They will also lick their paws, and that means they're ingesting certain chemicals, certain things. So I came home one day. We just started weaning Jasmine, off of some of her, steroids and everything. Her blood count was looking great. Her kidney values were getting back to normal. Everything was looking good. We just had blood work done on her a week prior. Everything was looking perfect. Everything we were doing, everything was looking perfect. I came home. And first thing I did, my husband was not working at home at the time. He was working in the office. I came home. I got my dogs in the backyard, let them run around, let them go to the bathroom. They did, bring them back in. I went out front to check my mail. In the midst of my door, between my screen door, there was a bill for a lawn care company stating that they came and sprayed my yard. I'm freaking out. I'm looking at the address. It's technically my neighbor's. Okay, so I'm in heart attack mode here because I already just let my dogs out. Did you spray my yard and just put the bill in the wrong door, or what did you do? So I had to contact the company. They contacted the person who was out here. No, they sprayed my yard. They absolutely chemically sprayed my yard, front and backyard. So I'm now ballistic. I'm, just seeing red, and I'm like, okay, how stupid are you guys that you went to the wrong yard? You didn't spray my neighbors, you sprayed my yard. I was like, I have pets. They sat here and decided to tell me I shouldn't have anything to worry about because they did it at noon. I let my dogs out at 4 o'clock. Everything's fine. Everything's good. I said, first off, you have no idea about my dogs. With Jasmine and what her condition is, we couldn't use and we can't use, and I refuse to use from this day on. We don't use chemicals in my house for any cleaning purposes. Apple cider vinegar, water, things like that, all natural stuff is what we use because my dogs can, smell it, ingest it. They can get it on their paws, lick it off. They can be ingested with it. They can be poisoned. I don't do it. So they decided to go ahead and tell me that everything was fine. I said, "You don't know my dog." I said, "You possibly just killed my dog. I had my dog outside in the yard. She's immune compromised. She's immune compromised. You don't know what this could possibly done to my dog, and you're telling me to stay calm about everything." They're like, "It shouldn't be an issue, blah, blah, blah." I said to them, "You don't know my dog." I said, "I'm calling my vet right now." Called my vet. Of course, with everything we dealt with Jasmine, my vet was concerned. They wanted the MSDS paperwork as to what chemicals were sprayed in my yard, what they were, and that we needed to get her in immediately and get blood work done on her. So I called the company back, asked them for the chemical, whatever they put on my yard. I needed the MSDS paperwork. I needed to know what chemicals and stuff they put on my yard, this and that. Sent it on to my vet, rushed my dog down to the vet. They went ahead and they did blood work on her. Keep in mind, we just did blood work on her a week prior. Now, doing a week after, only a few hours after she has touched my lawn that was done by a chemical, which is supposed to be safe after 4 hours, my dog touched it. Her liver was failing, her kidneys were failing, her numbers were off the charts. The vet looked at me and said, "We're back in the square one. Your dog's gonna end up dying from this." I contacted this company screaming and yelling, and I said, "I have two different blood works, two different, a week prior, what her blood work was, and this after this happened." They paid for the blood work to be done. They came over. I wanted them to tear up. Like, I'm such a crazy person. I wanted them to tear up and replace my whole lawn. They did come. They soaked my entire lawn to, dilute everything to take care of it. And they did help with the situation. But, when we sit here, like, I don't need to have, I first off, I have dogs. My yard's always a complete mud pit for my dogs. That's all it is. I can't grow grass. I can't grow grass to save my life, and we've been trying. But I don't care that much as long as my pets are happy. So I'm very cautious when, these chemical companies are coming around and somebody cares more about what their lawn looks like and are willing to sacrifice their animals' health and well-being. And when you think about it, that this happened to my dog when it was supposed to be safe, 4 hours later, when it was supposed to be safe, and it wasn't safe for her because nobody understood and knew what her condition was. Where are those chemicals going when it rains? It's all going into our water. I mean, I look at people nowadays and everybody I know is dealing with cancer, some type of cancer. And I sit here and I tell myself, I'm like, it's in the water. And it absolutely is because of some of these lawn care companies. Everybody wants a perfect lawn. They want it to look great and wonderful, but we're killing the environment. We're killing the animals. We're killing, our people. So those are, certain things you need to deal with. And when we're talking about, lawn care, a lot of people need to do, when you have pets, you need to do the research as to what plants, what things are dangerous to your pets. A lot of people have azaleas. Azaleas are a common poison for cats and dogs. I mean, we have poinsettias. Everybody around, the holidays has poinsettias, dangerous, poisonous to cats, to dogs. Tulips. Tulips, that's my favorite type of flower. My husband gets them for me every once in a while. I keep them out of reach of my dogs. My dogs can't get near them. Tulips. I mean, you have to look, at hydrangeas, irises. Look at what you have in your garden and what you're planting out there, and if it's dangerous or not for your pets, and if it could end up being poisonous and end up killing them. Now, there are plenty of, plants out here, which I've just started Anybody who knows me knows, like, I have a black thumb. I kill any kind of plant that's ever around me. But I do have, and my garden is coming up pretty nicely. It's a raised garden. It's above my retaining wall that I have of, different good plants like mint. I have lavender out here. I have, certain things that will help with my pets with flea and tick prevention from not having any of that in my yard. It's not poisonous to my pets, but my pets still can't get to it. Different things like that. You have to kind of look at this kind of things. And yeah, we want a beautiful yard. We want certain things. We love the smell of stuff, but at what risk? At what risk are we going to take? And could it be harmful and poisonous and kill our pets? And then all of a sudden we're wondering what happened? What happened? Learn this stuff. I mean, when you're sitting here and you're bringing home a child, and I'm going to keep referring back to children because, us growing up, like some of you growing up and, having children, food you want to give them, which ones have too much chemicals in it. We're dealing with, a society that's saying red dye is not good, sugars aren't good, things like that. Talking about sugars, let's go into foods. So, chocolate, we all know chocolate is not great for our pets. Milk chocolate, it's not great for them, but it's not as bad as what, dark chocolate is. Dark chocolate can be, extremely deadly to them. And a lot of vets that you'll deal with, it depends how much they ingest and what's happening with that. Coffee, soda, alcohol. Don't be giving that to your pets. Like, honest to goodness. Grapes. I have a client right now that has a puppy that likes to counter surf. I see grapes on her countertop all the time. I'm constantly pushing them back, making sure and hoping that this dog is not getting to it. Onions. Onions are a terrible thing. Nuts. Any type of kind of, walnuts, raisins. Macadamia nuts are not good for your pet and is actually poisonous and dangerous to them. The other thing you need to think about, and I know this is, being put everywhere, and I have a funny story to tell you guys about this. So me and my husband were out one day. We're having dinner, which we never go out and have dinner. And he acts like I'm not dealing in the pet world. He acts like I don't know what's going on every day in the world. So we're sitting there at a nice restaurant. We're having dinner, and my husband says to me that he saw a news report, and he's like, "I saw a news report of what's dangerous for dogs." I said, "Oh my gosh, okay, maybe did I miss something? What's going on? What's dangerous for dogs? Because I need to know. I'm in the pet world." He says to me, he says, "Yeah, the news report said that xylophones are dangerous to dogs." I laughed so hard in this restaurant. Everybody looked over at me. I was so embarrassed. I looked at him. I said, "What? What is poisonous to dogs?" He says, "Xylophones." I looked at him and I said, "Oh my God, are you a freaking idiot?" I said, "It is not a xylophone. A xylophone is a little, child's musical instrument, clink, 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 clink." I said, "You're talking about xylitol." "Oh yeah, oh yeah, that's what it is." Oh my gosh, I could have seriously, my husband's thinking that a child's toy is killing dogs, which it could, if they swallow the string or something, but I'm thinking, oh my heavens, like somebody kill me now. But xylitol is a huge thing, and it is an artificial sweetener, which you're now finding in peanut butter. You're finding in a lot of different dietary things that we probably all have in our household. And we all know if we deal with, especially dogs, we're trying to give them medications. A lot of us go ahead and put it in peanut butter and they eat it. You need to be extremely careful as to what the sweetener is in it. I'll tell you right now, your best option, and I never believed this until I did it myself, I went out and I ended up getting a whole bag of peanuts. I get peanuts when we're on vacation, but they're always the flavored peanuts, things like that. I went out to the store and I bought a bag of just regular unsalted peanuts. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go ahead and try to make my own peanut butter. I don't know how me blending this up in a food processor is going to turn into this creamy peanut butter. Oh, you let it go long enough, it turns into some creamy, creamy, all natural peanut butter. That's it. That's all there is to it. I know that there's no sweetener, there's no nothing in it. I feel safer with it with my pets when I can sit here and food process some freaking peanuts. I actually got those peanuts. No, I lied. I didn't get them. I didn't get them from a store. I ended up getting them from a baby shower. That they had a bunch of peanuts there in the shelves, because they were welcoming their new little peanut. And somehow somebody handed me a whole huge bag full of them. I had to deshell them, hurt my fingers for a while, but yeah. I mean, you kind of have to think about, these kind of things and know what is poisonous, what is dangerous for your pets. Different medications are not good for your pets. A lot of people want to sit here that, my pet's having, some pain issues. They want to give Tylenol. They want to give Motrin. They want to give Aleve. Poisonous to your pets. Poisonous to your pets. Talk to your vet about what the best option is. When we're talking about household hazards, we need to talk about choking hazards. Also with our pets and what's sitting around our house that can be, choking hazards. And the biggest thing that I notice when we're talking about choking hazards is my pet parents that have cats and dogs, that the dogs can easily get those small little cat toys and choke on them. They can get those little toys, think that it's okay, get an obstruction, have to have surgery, things like that. Same with the cats. That some cats, I know some cats that I've cared for that have swallowed strings and can't pass them and have to have surgery over that. Children's toys. You think about how small children's toys are. Your pet's seeing them. They're seeing that the child's having a fun time playing with them. I mean, they go chew on them, choke on them, and it can be disastrous. I mean, we cared for a dog. She just recently passed not too long ago, but she was what we considered a pica dog. If you don't know what pica means, it means that anything that they can get their mouth on, they feel is food and will take it and swallow it. This dog ended up having many, many different GI surgeries. It swallowed Barbies. It swallowed all kinds of different things. Like, we had to keep a big eye on this dog when we were with it. Thank God it never, got into anything like on our clock. But there is a mask out there, and this owner, because this dog constantly was getting into something, it ate corn cobs, like different things like that, that this dog constantly had to have surgery for anything because anything was edible for this dog. So there is a mask out there. If you do have a dog that is, out and about, or you're scared on garbage day that it's going to get into other people's garbage, the chicken bones, I swear to goodness, chicken bones, chicken wings, they always fall out of everybody's freaking garbage cans. Like, I'm always worried on garbage days taking a dog out on a walk. But there is a mask out there called a foxtail mask. It's a big mask. It's a big mesh mask that goes over their head that you just kind of, clip around their head that allows them, they can sniff, they can breathe, they can do whatever, but they can't pick up anything with their mouth. There's no opening, there's no nothing. They can't get into it. It's a big mesh mask that they can wear. If you're worried about this, I mean, get one of those foxtail mask, look into it, get it if you have a dog that's constantly grabbing stuff off the street. Sticks. A lot of pet owners think that sticks are a funny thing. That it's funny when their pets come in with a stick or something like that, that it's all fun. until your dog starts chewing it. Then you have these charred toothpicks going down their esophagus, scratching it up, causing intestinal problems. It's not a fun thing. They want to play fetch, but as soon as that dog starts chewing on a stick, it needs to be taken away. I have a lot of clients whose dogs also love rocks. I've had dogs that, clients' dogs who have gone through surgery and happen to have rocks removed from their stomach because it caused a blockage because they're swallowing rocks. I mean, you kind of need to think about, these type of different hazards around your house and keep an eye on your pet. The number one killer with dogs is rawhide bones or those rawhides. The number one, no joke about it, rawhides. I've had incidents with rawhides with my neighbor's dog. He had a rawhide little chip that he would just, play with. He would fling around. It wasn't an issue. It wasn't a problem. All of a sudden, my neighbor was getting frustrated because the dog's just playing with it, all this and that. Dog decided to go ahead and swallow the thing whole. He swallowed this rawhide chip whole. It was just a little like 2x2 square, swallowed it whole. All of a sudden, he became extremely dehydrated, couldn't drink water, started throwing up. Then he was throwing up blood. Then all of a sudden, he got severe diarrhea, and it was bloody diarrhea because this thing going down cut up his esophagus, it cut up his intestines. He couldn't get it out. Bloody diarrhea everywhere, which, and let me tell you, the scent of bloody diarrhea is terrible. My neighbor called me, letting me know his dog was in distress and what actually happened. I go running down. Dog was extremely dehydrated. I was able to give it fluids, talk to him about it. My neighbor, being a big, big guy that he is, the smell of the vomit and everything, he can't handle it. He's now vomiting. I'm cleaning up his vomit, the dog's vomit, his dog's, bloody diarrhea. It was just a terrible, terrible situation. Took us a couple of days to get this dog, through it and get enough fluids in it to try to get rid of this rawhide. Rawhides are the biggest thing, and they're riddled with so many chemicals. They're not good. Stop buying them. Stop getting them. Just stop doing it. And if your dog swallows it or chunks of it, it can be detrimental. It can be deadly. It is the number one deadliest thing you can actually buy for your dog, not only because of the chemicals in it to process it and to make it, a rawhide for a pet to eat. Also, if they were to swallow it and not digest it well, which none of them can, not one dog can digest it properly, it can end up killing them. We need to think about too. I know in the beginning of this podcast we talked about, how, we baby proof our house when we have, kids and stuff coming in. We put plugs in. I mean, you have to think about too when you have, a younger dog or an older dog that you've just adopted that has come into your house. You need to worry about, chewing hazards, which could be chewing wires. They're bored. They have nothing else to do. They chew a wire, they chew a lamp wire, a cord to something. They can shock themselves. They can end up dead from that. We need to think about, these kind of different things that are, household hazards for our pets. So when you get a pet, whether it's a rescue or not, you kind of need to think about the different hazards. And lastly, when we're talking about household hazards, we can sit here and think like, okay, I got my pet through, puppyhood. I got a rescue. They've gone through, adjusting to my house. They know that they're not allowed on the counter. They know they're not, allowed to do this. They have their own things. They have this and that. Then we need to start looking into when they become seniors and what hazards there are in our house with a senior pet. This is completely different. And unfortunately, as a lot of you know, I've just had a few of my senior pets pass away within the last, 2 years. It was devastating for us. I still, look at them, think about them on a daily basis, but you need to think about, there's the younger, proofing that you need to do when you're having a new dog come into your home or you have a puppy. But then once they start getting a little older and getting into those senior years, we need to think about, proofing everything for our senior pets. I've seen older pets who are having, hip issues, walking issues, things like that. And there's no carpeting on the stairs. They're slipping and sliding, falling, breaking bones, tearing ligaments. We need to think about things like that with them slipping and sliding. Wooden floors. I have wooden floors here, just because, I did bring in some puppies, easier cleanup for the wooden floors, but I need to worry about my senior pets too. So we have area rugs, so that my senior dogs aren't slipping and sliding on the wooden floors, and it's area rugs that I can easily clean. Wooden floors that if my puppies end up going on that and missing the carpet, it was easy cleanup for us, different things like that. You need to think about, these different situations. How are they going to be getting around? Vision issues. What all do we have that's sitting around our house that could be, not seen by our senior pets that can be, detrimental to them, that they can run into a glass coffee table, different, things like that they can harm themselves on. Getting them around and about, what is the safest way to do that, and how can we make them comfortable and senior proof our houses for our pets that is safest for them. So all of this stuff that I'm sitting here talking about, in this podcast is household dangers that we kind of need to awake ourselves to and know kind of what's happening and what's going on and be aware of it. And we can't just bring an animal into our house and figure like they're going to know better. They're not going to know better. They're not going to know better. And most of these hazards that happen with our pets, with suffocation, with poisoning, with hazardous and choking, hazards around the home and around the house, these are all preventable. And us as pet owners need to be aware of that, and we need to protect our pets. We need to protect them, and we need to be aware of what these hazards are and do the best that we can to help our pets manage through our home, our household, and keep them safe. Because the last thing you want to do in any day is come home and find that negligence or a misstep on your side, or you not thinking about something, and you come home to find your pet passed away by something that was so preventable, and you blame yourself for it. So those are just some things to think about. That wraps up this episode, and I hope you guys, take some precautions. Spread the word, spread this podcast, and help others just to realize that, there are certain things that we can help our pets with and prevent a tragedy from actually happening. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I can't wait for you guys to turn in next time. Have a good evening.